Welcome, friends, to April 9th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joe DeCristofaro, and I do this show because I love this country. Like everyone else, I don't necessarily love everything about it, and I never said she was perfect. But because America is such a great country, we can talk about that stuff and make it better. So, with that said, we'll begin the show with the Pledge of Allegiance. So everyone stand up, face your flag, and right hands over the hearts, and let's begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Alright, awesome. So now on today's program, Generals Lee and Grant will meet face to face.
PSYOP stages the toppling of a Saddam Hussein statue.
John Glenn is announced in Project Mercury, and rock band Soundgarden will break up. Alright, so now let's do this! 1865. 1,300 hours at the Appomattox Courthouse. Generals Lee and Grant meet face-to-face for the first time in two decades since they served in the Mexican-American War. In the morning of April 9th, the Battle of Appomattox Courthouse had come to a close when Robert E. Lee had no choice but to surrender his Army of Northern Virginia to the Union Army under General Ulysses S. Grant, and one of the last battles in the American Civil War. Lee had given up Richmond already at this point after the siege of Petersburg, retreated west, hoping to join his army with the Confederate forces in North Carolina, but Union forces pursued and cut off the Confederate retreat at the Appomattox Courthouse. Lee tried to attack one more time, but faced the Union cavalry, and not to mention the other two corps of the Union infantry. Lee had to surrender. The meeting inside the courthouse was a bit awkward. Lee showed up dressed in his full attire, clean and complete, with sword and sash. Grant showed up in a muddy flannel shirt with trousers tucked into muddy boots and no sidearms. Matter of fact, the only thing not muddy on Grant was his rank. Grant sat at the wooden table, Lee sat at the marble table. The two men exchanged uncomfortable pleasantries, mostly on the part of Grant, actually. Grant was clearly very emotional and kept getting off track, and Lee actually had to make him get to the point of the terms. The terms were surprisingly generous, and officers and men were pardoned of treason, and they would be sent home with their private property, including horses. Officers would keep their sidearms, and Lee's starving men would be given Union rations. Grant, later that day, told his officers, quote, "The war is over. The rebels are our countrymen again," unquote. Good stuff. 2003, PSYOP stages the toppling of a Saddam Hussein statue. Psychological operations, or PSYOPs, has been used since at least the beginning of recorded history, so I'm guessing it started way before history was even being recorded. Alexander the Great of Macedonia began running short on soldiers as he was trying to take over the whole known world. He knew a retreat would put him at risk of being captured and possibly defeated. So he had his army produce helmets and breastplates that would fit a gigantic 8-foot-tall soldier, and then left them behind to make their pursuers think they were chasing giants, and therefore stop pursuit. Meanwhile, here in America, in 1781, General George Washington used spies to fool the British into leaving General Cornwallis holed up in Yorktown by Americans on land and the French Navy in the waters. When Adolf Hitler sold Germany on the concept of unity by exaggerating the failures of conservative and nationalist parties, that term was known simply as propaganda. Speaking of World War II, Tokyo Rose was used as that beautiful feminine voice that American POWs heard on the radio, telling the soldiers the fight was over. America had lost, you will too. And more on that story, by the way, on my January 19th ep. The U.S. Army has four PSYOP units, the 2nd and 7th PSYOP units, and 4th and 8th Military Information Support Group Airborne. During the Vietnam War, the 4th PSYOP group was divided geographically into the 6th Battalion at Bien Hoa, 7th at Da Nang, 8th at Nha Trang, and the 10th Battalion at Can Tho. The Army and Navy uses PSYOPs as well, and the CIA uses it to the degree that would make a sane man shudder. In 2003, Metallica
was used to sound blast Taliban prisoners in Iraq into mental meltdown. To me, it sounds like every Friday night I've had since I was like 15, but whatever. By the way, wanttoknow.info has a pretty hilarious analogy of early Photoshop-style Forrest Gump shaking hands with JFK and the CIA using modern-day technology to project a holographic image of Allah in Baghdad flying over the skies. War is like a box of chocolates indeed. You just never know what you're gonna get. But it was on this day, 2003, just another example of PSYOPs in the works as a statue of Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein at Firdaus Square in Baghdad was taken down. But, according to TheAtlantic.com, that stunt probably just made tensions even worse. Also on this day in 2003, Baghdad was in chaos as people looted businesses, taking what they could, and rebelling against the United States-led advancement of Iraqi troops. In fact, the sledgehammer that was used to topple the statue was supplied by a U.S. sergeant. The Iraqi flag could have come from anywhere. History is riddled with PSYOPs, and just about every single country on Earth has been involved in it in one way or another. Just like almost every baseball team, not every single one, but enough of them has had at least a player or two that has used a corked bat. Except in this case, that corked bat of PSYOPs would get people killed.
Moving on to 1959. First astronauts were introduced after years of the U.S. trailing the Soviet Union in the space race. Project Mercury was the first human spaceflight program of the U.S., running from 1959 through 1963. An early highlight of the space race, its goal was to put a solo human into Earth orbit and return the person safely. On a side note, 36 years later in 1998, one of Project Mercury's original astronauts, John Glenn, went back into space at the age of 77 as part of the Space Shuttle Discovery crew. And finally, in rock news, 1997, Soundgarden breaks up. One of the most important bands in grunge music and the first grunge bands to sign onto a major label, which was A&M. After number one albums and winning Grammys for the singles Black Hole Sun and Spoon Man, they broke up due to internal strife over its creative direction.
And that is all, my friends, for April 9th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's episode. It's all on the comment board. Civil War fans, if you were General Grant, would you have cleaned up a little bit to meet General Lee? Or if you were General Lee, do you think you might at least have a coffee stain on your sash? I don't know.
Or what about PSYOPs? Can you list any more creative examples that I missed?
Cold War fans, what did you think about Project Mercury? Crazy, right? Soundgarden fans, how badly do we miss them? Or are we just happy with all of Chris Cornell's other projects and solo recordings? So yeah, let me know what you think on the comment board. While you're there, take a shot at the multiple choice quizzes on the website. And you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So, until tomorrow, thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. We'll see you then.